News Radio 690 KTSM presents the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We are live in the studio, and good morning, Wendy Polk.
Good morning, Jackson Polk.
And welcome here.
Thank you. Lovely morning to be here.
And you're replacing for the day Melissa Sargent. And
Melissa is off on
assignment.
On assignment elsewhere in Texas.
I like it when we say he's on assignment. She'll come back and tell us where she was. But anyway, good morning. Welcome here. How's it going?
It's a lovely morning in El Paso, and I'm happy to be here to talk El Paso history.
Indeed. We have another live radio show on KTSM AM 690, always about El Paso area history or something connected to it, as usual on Saturday mornings. And what we say, as always, is that Texas history begins in El Paso, and we can usually prove that. But we're also streaming live on the Internet. Tell us about that.
Well, people all over the planet can listen to this radio show. All they need to do is to go to ktsmradio.com. Click on the iHeartRadio link, and you will hear this show no matter where you are.
Well, if you have the right equipment.
Well, true.
So as it goes today, we're going to do trivia questions, right?
Yeah, and a little bit different today. We're going to have one trivia question in each hour of the show today. And as usual, the first caller who gets the answer correct to the trivia question will have the option of either a $20 food coupon for Pepe's Mexican Restaurant in Canutillo, good stuff, or they can choose an El Paso Gold DVD. We have various DVDs available this morning.
Can you read those from there?
El Paso's Waco Tanks, a Last Tour of the El Paso Smelter, Ghost Stories of El Paso, Volume 2 and 4.
Yeah.
Some of my favorites. And the second caller will get the second prize.
That could be either the first caller wins a dozen. Second caller wins a dozen. So it goes.
Yeah.
And so we have two coupons, one per hour. So, all right, what we're going to do today is talk about all kinds of things. Oh, by the way, lunch at Pepe's today. If you can make it out to Pepe's.
I'm there now.
We're going to ask our in-studio guest to pick a special here at some point.
Okay.
And we'll get to that in a minute because we have to introduce our guest this morning.
Okay.
And what we're going to do is talk about the history that's still standing today and the history that's beneath the ground in the neighborhood in downtown El Paso known as Duranguito. Our guests today are Max Grossman and J.P. Bryan, and we have J.P. on the phone. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you doing, Jackson?
We're surviving well, sir. We also have Max Grossman here with us. Hey, Doc.
Good morning, everybody. J.P., good morning.
Good morning, Max. How are you doing?
Great.
Basically, the idea I wanted to get you guys on the radio to talk about is the history of Duranguito, because it is in such contention these days, and maybe somebody doesn't really understand what it is. And also, I know J.P. Bryan in Galveston in Houston has been a man who's been preserving history like crazy with his own resources. And now he's helping El Paso look at our issues. And I was hoping that maybe we would get some insight from both of you on why do this in Texas cities around the state? Why do this anywhere? And what's the advantage? So I'll leave it up to the two of you guys to get us going here.
Well, go ahead, J.P.
So we are talking to your audience about this issue at this point. Is that right, Jackson?
Yes, sir. We're live on the radio on KTSM.
Well, obviously the thing that Max and I share in is an interest, a vital interest in historical preservation, and not just for the sake of seeing buildings preserved, but because, and let me say this emphatically, it makes great economic sense. The fastest growing industry in the state of Texas is heritage tourism. And El Paso has been gifted with a fabulous treasure trove of architectural assets and great historical assets that would attract visitors from all over the United States and all over the world and would be an enduring economic boon to the entire city. And Max and I share an interest in seeing that those assets are preserved.
Well, one thought I was asking is what exactly is in the area that's under contention? Because we've had the people at the city of El Paso say there's no history there. And, of course, we know better, but then what exactly is there?
Well, let me just give you the 30,000-foot sort of observation, and then I'll let Max really give you, flesh it out with a fuller detail. But there are 7 to 8 important, already identified historical sites in the Derringita that were, in 1998, were identified for historical markers, and in recognition as a very significant historical landmarks. In addition to the fact is the Ponce de Leon Ranch, which is the first settlement north of the Rio Grande in El Paso, lies right in the heart of the Derringita, and it's never been excavated, and it's about to be paved over.
So that's the interesting information that's under the ground that we don't know what's there yet, right?
Correct, of course.
By the way, JP, you may not have heard the introduction. That's Wendy Polk, my wife. She's the former editor of El Paso Inc. and now the editor of El Paso Inc. magazine. So she's here instead of Melissa this morning.
Good morning, JP.
Well, great to speak to you, Wendy. Thank you.
Max?
But I'll let Max. Max is the real true expert on, I've looked at the sites. I've been to the site. I appreciate its significance. And it could be much like the La Valita is in San Antonio. You know, complemented by all of Trost's surrounding structures, which give it just a unique posture architecturally and historically.
Well, it is no exaggeration to state that El Paso began in Durangito because a very wealthy landowner from the Republic of Mexico named Juan Maria Ponce de Leon, with a Mexican land grant in hand, crossed the Rio Grande, which in those days ran along what is now Paisano Drive, and established himself on the north bank, and that is the first settlement of its type in this region. There was nothing north of the Rio Grande until he established himself there in 1827. And the ranch survived for 3 years. He employed quite a few ranch hands. He would have had stalls. He would have had grain storage, maybe a mill, and a ranch that was large and sumptuous enough for his tastes. And then in 1830... a flood came along and wiped it out completely and buried it in perhaps a dozen feet of mud. And at that point, Ponce moved his ranch further up the hill to what is now San Jacinto Plaza. But the original ranch of 1827, I mean, the origins of what will become El Paso, is underneath the ground. And the 1998 survey that JP just alluded to cites 5 high-probability archaeological sites under the ground there, including Ponce's ranch. It is an archaeological treasure, and if you build an arena there, that evidence, the chance to learn about our origins, those will be lost forever, and that is not tolerable to us. But beyond that, the same 98 survey identified 7 buildings that need to be added to the National Register of Historic Places. And if that were not enough, the same survey also recommended establishing a historic district there, because in the eyes of the surveyors, all professionals, that neighborhood needs to be preserved and commemorated. Fast forward to this year, and the county of El Paso is conducting a new survey, far more thorough and extensive, that will cover all of downtown and the barrios. And that survey is already completed for Durangito, and the preliminary recommendations are as follows. 7 buildings need to be added to the National Register of Historic Places, and a National Register District, national, needs to be established in that neighborhood, and that, of course, will free up tax credits that can pay for up to 45% of the hard and soft costs of renovation. And as JP just said, heritage tourism is the fastest-growing industry in Texas. It's a multi-billion-dollar industry. El Paso today attracts 2.1% of tourist dollars in Texas, which is abysmally low. And we should be up there in the double digits with San Antonio, giving our Trost masterpieces and all the other assets that we have here to show off to the world. And look, if we want to give people a reason to get off I-10 on the way to Austin and do something other than eat a burger and top off their gas tank, we better get in the business of restoring our historical assets downtown and turning it into something that's unique and authentic and interesting so that people will actually come to El Paso with their families and have dinner and walk around and admire what's genuine and special about where we live. So that's the neighborhood in a nutshell. But the 7 buildings that JP cited, one of them, for example, which is called the Flor de Luna, on the corner there that was just badly damaged a couple of days ago, is where Michael Dolan, Pancho Villa's attorney, lived and worked. And that is where the surrender of Pancho Villa to the government of Mexico in 1920 was negotiated, helping to end a war, the Mexican Revolution, that lasted for more than a decade and killed more than a million people. And there needs to be a historical marker in front of that building, just like there needs to be a historical marker in front of the Chinese Laundry. More than 1,000 Chinese crossed the Pacific Ocean to help build our transportation network, our railroads, and many died anonymously in the desert. Others settled in El Paso, which had the largest Chinese community in the state of Texas. And to this day, we are the only city in Texas with a specifically Chinese cemetery, with gravestones going all the way back to the 19th century. There is exactly one building left from the early history of our Chinese community here, and the city is ready to sweep it away. Add to that the 1930 Trost Firehouse. Certainly can't part with that. And we go on and on, Victorian buildings and so on and so forth.
Max, let's get to the total of all the other buildings in a moment, but I think it also might be good to hear from J.P. Bryan about why do the preservation. J.P., you're a pretty good expert at this stuff. You have been around. You restored the Gage Hotel in West Texas. You have some expertise in this, and if you don't mind, share some of that with us. Why would this be a good idea for specifically El Paso?
It makes incredible economic sense. When you preserve a building, depending on how it's situated within the community, it will not only do something for the local residents or those that are nearby, but it can also save in large measure or in part the soul of the community itself. Historical preservation makes great economic sense. And a good example would be the hotel that my wife and I restored in Marathon, Texas. There was nobody coming to Marathon at the time to visit the hotel. Probably didn't have more than 25 guests a year until we restored it. And now it's grown in significance and has brought considerable economic benefit to that small community. And this is something that you could compound in El Paso. You have got an absolute treasure trove of historically important assets that if restored and showcased in the proper way will bring financial benefits to El Paso that will endure for generations to come. And let me just say this. This kind of restoration can be obviously can be an office building that will be locally occupied, but it can also be historical sites that people will come from afar to see. If you build an entertainment center in the city of El Paso, it's going to attract mostly the local population. If you restore a historical district and make that a place for heritage tourists, it's going to attract people from outside of El Paso that will bring new economy, new money into that environment that will sponsor economic growth by restaurants, fashion shows, whatever you can think of. That would be of great enduring benefit to the community.
Well, JP, are you a little amazed that El Paso has not figured this out before?
Well, it's way past amazement. It's just sadness. It's that they are overseeing something of this magnitude, this destructive to their historical heritage is just breaks my heart. In their grasp, the opportunity to do something of incredible significance for the entire community. And from a historical preservation standpoint, what this is going to turn into is a historical Alamo. This is the destruction of a unique community and a unique history that will never be resurrected again.
Can you tell us the story of the Alamo? As I understand it, at one point it was about to be destroyed by local business people and interests.
Yes, it was. And it was saved by a woman of considerable resolve to stop the destruction of the south wall and a big part of the barracks of the Alamo, Ms. Zavala. And but I'm talking about the defeat at the Alamo.
Oh.
The battle that was lost there. I mean, it's exactly the same thing that's about to happen here in El Paso. This entire community is going to be destroyed just like those people were that occupied the Alamo. And it's going to be a sad day in the history of El Paso, and it will go down in infamy amongst historical preservationists and those who share a concern for the restoration of unique and wonderful sites. I mean, El Paso brings a cultural diversity that's unique to our state. And it speaks about the early settlement of the West in a remarkable way with all the explorers that came through there. And this is a way for the city to take great economic advantage of what's been presented to them by history.
One thought on San Antonio. As I understand it, they did not only save the Alamo and turn it into a tourist location, they put in a river walk. And if you go up, if you go up to the head of the river walk, which I did one time, and look at the historic marker, that began in 1939. 39 is when they decided to make that happen. So it takes some time to make these things occur, but they turned a river walk into some huge attraction in addition to the Alamo. So it takes forward thinking and decades to pull this off, is what I'm getting at, right?
Sure.
All right. We're going to take a break here, JP. JP Bryan in Houston or Galveston, wherever you are today, we thank you for joining us by phone. Max Grossman is in the studio, and we're going to continue this discussion. But this is a commercial radio program, JP, and so we're going to take a break. And if you want to stick on the line, we'll put you on hold. You'll hear the show. In the meantime, we're going to take some calls here because we're going to do some trivia. And I'll bet you know the trivia, but you're not eligible today, okay?
Okay.
Fair enough. Hold on there, JP. All right, Wendy Polk, what do we got in the way? And Max, you're not going anywhere. You're staying here.
Oh, I almost got out the door. I almost escaped.
Don't let him
out.
Sit
down, Max.
All right, but in the meantime, we'll take our calls. But what's the question? We have the trivia giveaway for, what do we got there? All those videos you mentioned. And also, we have a Pepe's certificate for $20.
Right. Today's trivia answer correct person can win either a $20 Pepe's coupon or a DVD. So is it time for the question?
Ask it. It's a multiple choice today.
It's a multiple choice. A little bit different. And listen carefully. The question. When we say Texas history begins in El Paso,
JP cringes, but we'll get over that, JP. But go ahead.
What event or year in our history actually predates all other European people arriving to colonize settlements by going through Texas?
In other words, what was the date, what was the event that occurred in El Paso that made it the oldest occupation of Europeans in basically this part of the country? And you have choices.
Yes, we have a multiple choice question this morning. The first choice is Don Juan de Oñate in 1598. Choice number two is Ponce's Rancho in the 1820s. Number three, the Mexican-American War in 1848. And finally, number four, my favorite, KTSM Radio's first broadcast in 1928.
I think that one may not be it. But one of those others is, if you call up with the right number, we're going to give you one of these prizes.
Exactly.
What would be that phone number?
Call us at 544-5876. That's 544-KTSM.
Back in a moment.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
And so it begins again for the 48th consecutive year. We leave El Paso and head to Ruidoso for the first big ride of the fall. Are we going to have a good time this week? You bet your golden aspen we are. Now is the time we put the long, hot summer in our rearview mirror and head for the cool pines of Ruidoso for the annual Golden Aspen Motorcycle Rally held at the end of the Mountain Gods Resort and Casino. This isn't just any motorcycle rally. This is the 2017 AMA National Road Riding Convention. It includes a 55,000-square-foot trade show with more freebies than being an Oprah Winfrey studio audience. And speaking of freebies, Barnett is giving away a new 2017 Harley-Davidson Street Bob at the rally. So theoretically, you can drive up in a Chevy and be a hog on the way back. Yes, dreams do come true at Barnett Harley-Davidson or at BarnettHarley.com. Because your life, just like your new Harley, should always be a great ride. And in this case, maybe even a free ride.
Here's some big news. America's largest RV show is going on right now at Camping World in Anthony. Now through September 30th, America's number one RV dealer is bringing show savings to a dealership near you. Shop travel trailers starting at $149 a month, motorhomes at $359 a month, plus low APR financing available on over 225 new and pre-owned RVs. Stop by Camping World in Anthony during America's largest RV show, this month only. Camping World RV sales, prices, and payments not inclusive of tax, title, license, and dealer doc fees. See dealer for details. Offer expires 9/30/17.
Last year, corporate data breaches were up 40%. This year, it could be worse. Find out if your data is at risk with a free dark web email scan, only from Experian. In less than a minute, you'll know if your identity is at risk. Go to Experian.com/scan to help keep your identity yours with Experian. Think data breaches only affect companies? Think again. It could be your data being sold on the dark web. See if you're at risk with a free dark web email scan, only from Experian. It costs nothing, and it could help you keep your identity yours. Start now for free at Experian.com/scan.
Our sold-out 2017 iHeartRadio Music Festival, hosted by Ryan Seacrest.
iHeartRadio.
Two nights, one stage.
Let's go!
This weekend at T-Mobile Arena in Vegas.
Capital One is the proud marquee partner of the iHeartRadio Music Festival. For more information on Capital One products and services, please visit CapitalOne.com today.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Pohl.
I think we have Gilbert and Arthur on the phone here. We'll get you guys in a second here. But I got to tell you a couple of things coming up in El Paso history on KRWG TV Channel 22. Sunday nights, we are continuing running all of our DVDs.
Oh, good.
And they're going to run them on, tomorrow night, September 17th, 10:30 p.m., different title each week. This one's going to be Mexican Revolution Sites in El Paso.
Fascinating. Fascinating
stuff. Kind of germane to the discussion today,
exactly,
because it's a walking tour downtown of what went on in El Paso about the Mexican Revolution. And if you don't realize it, here's something to tell you. Downtown El Paso was the location where the Mexican Revolution was planned, funded, and equipment purchased.
Wow.
To take across the river. Anyway, that's Sunday night, September 17th, 10:30 p.m. on KRWG. And it's a free broadcast if you want to buy one, ephistory.com. But, you know, we're pretty much giving away our history at this point.
That's
and
great.
Tomorrow night, 17th of September, 10:30 p.m. What you got?
Okay, a quick note on something really fun to do on Saturday, October 14th. The 14th annual Sunset Heights Tour of Homes. 8 homes opened, historic homes, all kinds of fascinating stuff. The homeowners will be on site. So the tour is Saturday, October 14th, $10 for adults, $5 from kids. It's from noon to 4 p.m. You can buy tickets ahead of time at the Hellmarkers Gallery at 1308 North Oregon. On the day of the tour, you can buy tickets at the Burgess House on West Yandell and at the Hellmarkers Gallery. Sunset Heights Tour of Homes, 8 homes, great fun. Great history in El Paso.
Okay, we're going to go to the callers right now concerning our trivia question. And you want to repeat the question just real quick?
I will shorten the question a little bit.
Please.
In what event or year in our history predates all other European peoples arriving to colonize settlements by going through Texas?
Okay, that's Gilbert on the phone. Hey, Gilbert, how's it going?
Hey, how are you this morning?
Morning,
surviving,
Gilbert.
Surviving, you know. We have 4 choices here. Wendy, read the choices for Gilbert.
Numero uno, Don Juan de Oñate in 1598. Number two, Ponce's Rancho in the 1820s. Number three, Mexican-American War in 1848. And number four, KTSM Radio first broadcast in 1928.
Which was it?
Juan Maria Ponce de Leon's Rancho.
No, but we thank you for trying. That was not it. I'm sorry. Arthur, you got the right answer?
Arthur?
Oh, am I on?
Yes, sir.
You are on. What do you think is the answer to the trivia question?
The first one.
Don Juan de Oñate.
Don Juan de Oñate.
1598.
You won.
Go ahead.
Yay.
Oh, did I win?
Yeah.
Yes,
fantastic.
Yes, yes.
But you knew that question already, didn't you?
Kind of, yeah. As a matter of fact, there's even a landmark or historical marker right next to the river where you crossed.
That's right. And also, there's a border fence there as well. I want to go paint a big. I want to go paint
a
big.
Consider that a landmark. So.
Well, you know what? I want to go paint a big border, big picture on the border fence of a conquistador. But I would get arrested, so we're not going to do that.
Yeah, let's not do that.
Right.
So we're
going
to move
on.
Okay, you got yourself a $20 certificate to Pepe's or a DVD. What's your prize? What do you need?
Well, what's the DVD of?
Oh, we got several here. I'll tell you what, I'll put you on hold, and Shelley will come on and tell you how to pick up the DVD that you choose, all right?
Well, I wanted to make a comment about what you guys are doing.
Sure. Okay.
I think you guys are doing a fantastic job. I just wish there was some way you could cover more of the mass media to inform our lovely citizens of the rich historical treasure that we have here in El Paso.
Well, thank you
I
for
grew
that.
Up here, mm-hmm. I grew up here in El Paso, and I grew up, my I'm half Native American and half Mexican.
What's the other half?
And so
I'm just kidding.
No, that's okay.
Go ahead.
I'm half Apache is what it is.
Okay.
And so I grew up with all these stories of the Mexican Revolution, the Mexican soldiers, the Native Americans, and everything like that. And I just can't believe that they want to kind of glaze over it. I mean, they've already torn down an important building and made a Burger King there. Well, they shouldn't have. And then we should stop that. And then I'm hoping that there's some way you guys can do more of a mass media. Because really it becomes down to your media against the other media, and I'm hoping that you guys are able to overwhelm the other guys so that the citizens can become more informed.
It's not media against media. It's media together figuring out what is the truth. And frankly, we have a KVIA TV7 crew in here right now recording this show for their use. So we're getting the word out as best we can. Arthur, I'll tell you what, hold on the phone here. Shelley will come tell you how to pick up a DVD, all right?
Thanks for calling.
Thank you guys so much.
On line three here, Shelley, you got yourself a winner. JP, stay on hold a second. Max, don't go away because we're going to come back after this in just a moment and continue our discussion. If you wish to contact us during these interviews, if you don't mind, please get a hold of us on Facebook. Go to El Paso History Radio Show on Facebook, and we'll take your questions from there. We shall be back in just a moment.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
At this point, I kind of want to smash the TV. But instead, I went to iPlay.com and downloaded the app and play new and classic games on my computer for free. No sign up and no credit card required. Nothing like a good mystery to take me away, but I don't have time for a movie or a novel. So instead, I'm into the latest iPlay games in the Mystery Case Files Adventure series. And when I need a classic, Agatha Christie murder mystery games hit the spot. I get my mystery fix and come away thinking more clearly. No Wi-Fi? No problem. With the free iPlay app, I can play my games offline and tune out. I'm so glad I went to iPlay.com and downloaded the app. It's my daily sanity restoration. iPlay every day.
Dynavite is the best thing that's ever happened to my dogs, you know, besides me, of course.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite for your dog this week.
We'll send you a big tube of Doggo Suds free.
Peppermint, tea tree, lavender, Doggo Suds shampoo.
Made with all-natural coconut, jojoba, aloe.
But no itchy, harsh chemicals.
Lather up, rinse away.
Try Doggo Suds
free this week at Dynavite.com.
Dynavite is nutrition.
DINOVITE.com.
These days, barely a week goes by without another data breach making the news. If you think it only affects companies, think again, because it could be your data that's being breached and sold on the dark web. That's why it's more important than ever to protect yourself. Start by getting a free dark web scan, only from Experian. In a few seconds, you'll know if your email has been compromised, and it's totally free. Go to Experian.com/scan to get started. That's experian.com/scan.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
Hey, this is Mario Lopez. So when planning to celebrate, please make sure to plan for a safe ride home. Don't risk getting a DWI. Don't drink and drive. It's just not worth it. So plan while you can at SoberRides.org. Drink, drive, go to jail. A message from TxDOT.
More of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
As a reminder, KRWG tomorrow night, 10:30. Our videos are playing for free. How about that? Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso tomorrow
night. Kind of relevant right now, isn't it?
It very much is, because it's a tour of downtown buildings and what went on in the buildings as far as the Mexican Revolution. You got the Caples Building, major things going on there. We'll ask Max in a minute to help us with that list. But you have an announcement.
Well, here's something else that you ought to think about doing. You can attend the El Paso Mission Trail Annual Fundraiser. It's coming up on Saturday, October 7th at 4 p.m. It's a presentation of a production called A Spanish Night with Danza Españolas.
K-N-I-G-H-T.
K-N-I-G-H-T, as in like with a sword.
Well, yeah, conquistador guys.
Not Dark Knight. Okay.
No.
Okay. The event is at La Cueva Theater. That's at 10180 Socorro Road in Socorro, Texas. $30 per person. For more information, call 915-851-9997.
And here we go again. We got JP on the phone. Good morning again, JP Bryan from Houston.
Good morning.
And I love your business card. It says where you're from. It says J.P. Bryan from Texas. And that's correct, isn't that what's on your business card?
Yes, that's true.
Well, let's talk a minute, if we don't mind. Tell us about what you have done in Galveston, because you said you were collecting memorabilia from all over the state about the origins of Texas, and it got to be so much stuff in your office you decided to make a museum out of it. Is that what happened?
Well, there's some truth in that. I started collecting actively in 1966 when I found out that my dad had sold his very significant collection of Texas maps and other memorabilia and documents to the University of Texas. And so I assembled quite a collection of items, about 70,000 in total. It's about much more than Texas. It's about the settlement of the entire western part of the United States, which in itself is one of the greatest historical stories ever told.
And I thank you for doing it. I know you bought Jose Cisneros' paintings. You've got them down there. You've got some Tom Lee. You've got various representations of documents from all over Texas and the Southwest. And it's a great museum, and it's in Galveston. If you need to get down there, folks, if you're in Galveston for any other reason, make sure this is the one that you get to. It's a Bryan Museum. You can't miss it, right?
Well, we sure hope not. It is really given a special, I would say, significance or flavor by many of the things that originated in El Paso or were acquired in that city. And I was inspired early on in my life by an El Pasoan, Carl Herzog.
Oh, yes.
To collect fine books. And Carl was a genius at his trade. He was a book designer. And he and I developed a real wonderful, warm friendship. And I used to come frequently to El Paso to try to get books that he had designed for the likes of Tom Lee and other book publishers in the area.
Well, one bottom line on you is you're not new to El Paso at all.
Oh, no. No, I have a lot of identity personally with El Paso and many good friends there, and have been going to El Paso actively for at least 40 years of my life, and maybe more than that if I were to look closer, but I guess I don't want to admit to that.
That's kind of four decades even, okay? And also, just before we get off of your subject on the museum, how did you fare in the recent hurricane?
Oh, well, thanks for the question. In one way, we fared extremely well in that there was no damage to Galveston of any significance or any serious flooding, but unfortunately, our friends in Houston have suffered incredible damage. I mean, it is absolutely the worst disaster in the 180-year history of the state, I think, in terms of the property damage and just the disruption to people's lives, and not in terms of death toll, but just the sadness and the loss of so many personal things, and especially those with less in the term of economic resources. So many homes are just totally devastated. So our traffic to our museum is affected by that, just in the echo of that event, because, you know, our visitation is down significantly. People just are so stunned by what's happened that they're not even leaving Houston or barely able to get back.
Our hearts go out to them, and also our thankfulness for your museum intact, as you say. All right, let's talk more about El Paso history with Max Grossman here. We were talking during the break, Max, about other things that have gone on in El Paso that almost got blown away. Like we mentioned the Alamo with JP earlier. It almost got blown away, and then somebody saved it. What about the Plaza Theater?
Well, there you go. The Plaza Theater was built in 1930. It is a gem, and famous actors and actresses have been there. It's been central to the history of downtown in the 20th century. And the theater itself is just beautiful. It is an incredible structure and was recently restored at a cost of tens of millions of dollars through a private-public partnership.
But the city came up for that. That was fantastic. They came up for part of that.
Well, the El Paso Community Foundation certainly took the lead.
Yes, they did.
But the city pitched in and many private citizens, and it was going to be a parking lot. It was very, very close. They were going to knock it down.
Well, what's to say we couldn't do something like that with this area where the arena is supposed to go? Is it because the economic interests have already decided that it's going to go there, or can that be undecided perhaps?
Well, I think JP and I both agree that nothing is decided.
Ah, okay. Fair enough.
We're still very hopeful for a positive outcome here.
But it could turn into something that's a tourist attraction, what JP was alluding to. I mean, I think if by the what's going on, the city of El Paso and your efforts are making that a very well-known piece of property.
Well, look, if the city would stop dropping bond projects on our historical core, the free market will move things forward on its own. Downtown's on the up and up, and buildings are being restored left and right through private partnerships and individual initiatives. And we think that once we get a historic district there and some tax credits in place, that it'll create some momentum, and, yeah, it'll attract tourists. I mean, look at the Plaza Theater. How many tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people have gone downtown because of that building? And then, of course, they're having dinner there. They're getting a drink. They're going for walks. It stimulates the economy and leads to the creation of other businesses. And then that spreads and gets compounded. And that's a good thing. And we're seeing more and more of that in downtown El Paso. The answer, however, is not to drop some 11-acre project down on our historic core, which would freeze business for 2 or 3 years during construction and probably wipe out a lot of the smaller businesses within a certain radius of that thing. And as JP so eloquently stated earlier, that kind of project will really only attract the locals, whereas we have the opportunity.
Well, you mean the arena with sports in it or something?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
cultural arts.
Unless you're a fan of whatever basketball team they're planning on putting there, you're not going to attract people from other cities in Texas and other states and other countries. We have the opportunity to be like San Antonio, to create a heritage tourism economy that could be worth hundreds of millions of dollars a year, that could create 10, 20, 30,000 jobs, as we've seen in San Antonio. We need to move things in that direction.
JP, what are your thoughts about the Trost buildings?
Well, you know, the Trost buildings, you know, they're 150, I guess, still standing, incredible structures designed by Henry Trost, who was a genius among United States architects. He certainly would have to rank as one of the top five best architects ever.
Wow.
And in the history of this country. And he's populated El Paso with some of his finest work. And those buildings need to be recognized, they need to be preserved, and they would attract architects and architectural advocates from all over the world, because so many of his buildings are classical structures that you're not repeating architecturally anymore in the new buildings that are replacing them, or the parking lots that now stand in sort of a stark monument to a beautiful building built by Trost, two of them destroyed in downtown just in the last 5 years. And so these need to get the same kind of recognition that Derengito. But just let me say this, if I might. If the money that was allocated to whatever this center is going to ultimately be was thoughtfully put to the reconstruction of the Derengito, the El Paso would have something that would be phenomenal. It would bring people from all over the state, from all over the world to witness. You could create wonderful little eateries there, shops, all kinds of outreaches that would be culturally unique, and it would benefit from the close connection with Juarez and all the things that go on across the river. I mean, it could be a wonderful connection between the two countries that could bring, wonderful recognition to El Paso and give it a distinction that no other city in the state of Texas can ever hope for.
Let's talk for a moment, JP, about the idea that the people with the hotels down there are very concerned that they need an arena to keep their traffic in their hotels. Could you suggest that that would be supplanted or even surpassed by tourism?
Oh, look, let me tell you something. A heritage tourist is not going to turn off I-10 to go see a Class D basketball game. It's not going to attract anybody of that ilk. Now, it might bring, more people downtown to go to the basketball game, but they're not going to sleep in the hotels.
No, they're not.
And I'm not saying that whatever they ultimately do won't have some economic benefit to somebody or to parts of the community, but they're going to lose a gem. They're throwing away the Hope Diamond to get a cosmetic jewelry in its place. And so I just encourage the citizens of El Paso, and most especially the people that are providing the leadership within that city, to pause and say, wait a minute, maybe there's something better we could do here that would benefit our entire community in a very significant way.
And, JP, I think we need to go back and make the point that your very successful restoration of the Gage Hotel and Marathon is a Trost building. And that's a great example of when you take remarkable, significant architecture and bring it up to today's standards. People come, people enjoy it, people spend money.
Well, yes, and let me just say that that's happened in four small communities across West Texas, in Alpine at the Holland Hotel, which was recently and beautifully restored. It's enjoyed a 100% increase in occupancy. And it's helped revive the downtown of Alpine. The same things occurred in Marfa at the Paisano Hotel, which was a Trost, beautifully designed Trost building, and also the El Capitan in Van Horn. All of those buildings have been restored and are great economic beneficiaries to the community.
Max?
Right. And along those lines, I mean, think about it. Van Horn, Alpine, Marfa, Gage. These are four West Texas towns, small places. Each has one major Trost hotel, and in every single one of those cases, those hotels have been central to the economic development of those communities. Whereas in El Paso, we have the mother lode. The firm Trost & Trost established itself here in 1903 and continued into the 1940s, even beyond the death of Henry. His brothers continued to work, and they designed over 600 buildings in five states and in northern Mexico. And about a quarter of that total production is in El Paso alone, including some of the most important masterpieces. Just in downtown alone, 38 Trost commercial buildings were constructed, and 28 of those are still standing. We've lost 10, but we still have enough of them that we're at critical mass, and that could be a major economic driver, just the fact that we have these masterpieces. Don't you think so, JP?
Oh, absolutely. You've well spoken. I mean, that's the sort of the frustration that I feel in. I do not live in El Paso, but I have a house in Houston, but my home's Texas, and I'm interested in preservation of important things across the state. And I look at what's in El Paso and marvel. And if the citizens of the city would pause for a minute and say, what can we do to preserve these structures? What kind of a program can we get? You would do something that everybody in the city would be proud of for generations to come. You would call your friends and say, come to El Paso and visit, you know, the Derringito, and come to see the Trost buildings and look at the architectural renderings that are here. You would never have thought of it, but we've got some of the most beautiful buildings in the entire United States.
And you can stay at the elegant and wonderful, soon-to-be-restored Paso del Norte Hotel.
And the Bassett Tower. So clearly there are some people in El Paso who see the value of these wonderful historic properties and the assets in downtown. And, you know, what's interesting is that there are many younger entrepreneurs in town who are doing private support of our architectural assets and renovating buildings.
The Bassett Tower, yeah.
Bassett Tower is a great example. You know, there are plans to renovate the Plaza Hotel.
We can come back after a break and talk about some of the things that Mr. Foster has done, and they're extraordinary. But before we go to break, we're going to put you on hold one time, JP, and go to another caller. This one happens to be a co-host. Hey, co-host.
Hey, how you doing? I'm calling from JP's neighborhood. I'm close by in League City.
Melissa Sargent, hey. How are you?
Melissa.
Doing fine. Hey, Max. Hi, JP. Wendy, doing a great job. I kind of wanted to backtrack really, really quick into what Max was saying about Derringito and the history there. And the fact is, I grew up in Los Angeles, and they have Olvera Street. And it kind of, Bernie and I were sitting about 2 months ago talking about Derringito and all, and why they just weren't turning that area into an Olvera Street, which would show the Hispanic community how wonderful they are. They're a colorful, wild community. It's a lot of fun. And it's just, you could make this a historical, fun area that you could have fiestas and all kinds of wonderful events, which would tie in wonderfully with the cultural center that they want to put in.
This could be an exhibit for the cultural center, as a matter of fact.
Exactly. It would be places where you could have businesses. People would be making money. It wouldn't be a dead space that would only be, you know, having events at certain times. People could have businesses. It would build an economic boom for that area.
And again, at the hotels. Work. The hotel people are the ones that kind of upset that the arena's not going to go there, perhaps. They could get their stuff done and still have better tourism. Melissa, as you know, we need to take a break here at this point.
That's right.
We'll see you next week for sure, huh?
I'll be back from League City next week.
All right, see you then. Thanks a lot.
Take care, everybody.
All right, we shall do that. JP, we're going to take a break. Max, come back in a minute, talk about more things. We've got another hour after this next break as well. A few minutes coming up at the top of this hour. And shall we do that and look it on El Paso History Radio Show on Facebook, see what's going on there. Get us on that, if you don't mind, for a question today.
Sure. You can go to ktsm.com, ktsmradio.com.
To hear the show.
To
hear the show.
Yeah, to hear the show. You can go to ktsmradio.com and click on the iHeartRadio link, and you can hear it anywhere in the world.
Tell your people that. Back in just a moment.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Are you hiring? Join over 3 million businesses that use Indeed.com for hiring. You can post a job in minutes and manage your candidates from an easy-to-use dashboard. Post your next job on the world's number one job site, Indeed.com.
Last year, corporate data breaches were up 40%. This year, it could be worse. Find out if your data is at risk with a free dark web email scan only from Experian. In less than a minute, you'll know if your identity is at risk. Go to Experian.com/scan to help keep your identity yours with Experian.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs, like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
iHeart Radio. All your favorite music. All your favorite stations. All free. Need a break from the world? Open the iHeart Radio app. Pick a song, a playlist, an artist, or even a podcast. And immerse yourself in your own personal getaway space. Sometimes you just need to tune out the world. So tune in to iHeart Radio. Download or open the free iHeart Radio app today. iHeart Radio.
of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We're all, JP's back with us. Max Grossman's back with us. And, gentlemen, we got about 3 minutes in this hour. In the second hour, we're going to ask people to call Shelly, our call screener, and if they don't mind, give her the question. There's some angst going on with this subject, no doubt, in town, and we're not going to let that kind of stuff get on the air. So we don't mind your questions, but we're going to take them and screen them, and Shelly will walk them in here. How's that sound? Anybody?
Sounds good to me.
Is JP all with us? You got JP on? There he is.
Absolutely.
Okay,
for sure.
Fair enough. And Max, before we go at either one of you, before we hit the news at the top of the hour, which we need to take a break for, what is the deal with the things that have been going on in downtown? You had the Plaza Theater renovate. That seemed to be a catalyst. We thank the Community Foundation and all their hard work for making that happen. The city of El Paso became a partner. That's the kind of thing that could be emulated. What was next? Paul Foster and doing the Anson Mills?
Yeah, well, look, Jax, you need to understand that in downtown El Paso, there are 24 buildings that are individually on the National Register. And these buildings, almost all of them, are trust buildings.
What does that mean to somebody?
Well, look, they've either been restored, are under restoration, or about to be restored because of the generous federal and state tax credits. So that's an important process, and Paul Foster's taken advantage of that on the federal side with the Anson Mills building and the White House Department Store, two trust buildings. Cost tens of millions of dollars to restore. He restored them. And now he's moving on to the Hilton Plaza Hotel, which is a 1930 Trost masterpiece, and he's going to restore that. Lane Gaddy, the Trost O.T. Bassett Tower. And now Lane Gaddy is going to take on the Roberts Banner Building, 1910. So a lot of this is driven by tax credits, which have changed the economic calculus of downtown. And if you consider that the county survey will add more than 500 more buildings onto the National Register of Historic Places. That's 500 more than the 24 we have now. Think of the bonanza of historic preservation that awaits us.
JP, we got 1 minute before the break. Of course, we'll come back after the news and talk about this again and take questions by phone. But if you don't mind, give us a summary of your thoughts about what has been going on in El Paso. What would happen if that continued, to continually renovate the buildings and bring in tourism?
Well, you know, Jackson, just to reiterate, I think anybody that can see what's occurred with the already reconstructed or restored buildings can get a good sense of the economic boon it would be for El Paso. But El Paso could become a city within the United States, absolutely, with all the historic structures that are there available for renovation and restoration. And if you could get a unified community focused on that, it would be wonderful for every resident of the city of El Paso.
Well, things seem to be driven sort of top-down money-wise. What if the money people figured this out, as you have, and got on board? We would be something formidable in tourism. You'd see people. We have 17 million cars, vehicles going on I-10 through El Paso every year. What if it's just a fraction heard about this and showed up? That's kind of what I think we should be thinking about. Not so much who did what to whom, perhaps. But on the second hour, JP.
I mean, look, this ought to be about trying to bring people together.
Yes, sir. All right, there's our music. We're going to have to cut off now, JP. Thank you kindly. I'll put you on hold or call back if you wish. Max, we'll see you second hour. Wendy, you'll be here.
We'll be right back.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. We'll be right back after the news right here on News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso.